The following Dharma talk was given by Danica Shoang Ankele Osho
at the Zen Center of New York City.
Shoang Osho is a Dharma holder and priest in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered freely. If you would like to make a donation or find out more about our various programs,
visit us online at zmm.org/ZCNYC.
Thanks for listening.
Good afternoon, everybody. It does me such good to feel the strength of the practice here in Brooklyn and to feel how well looked after the temple is. Medicine comes in so many forms. The clouds' fascination and the moon's cherishing. A person of the way fundamentally does not dwell anywhere. The white clouds are fascinated with the green mountain's foundation. The bright moon cherishes being carried along with the flowing water. The clouds part and the mountain appears. The moon sets and the water is cool. Each bit of winter contains vast interpenetration without bounds. Every dust is whole without reaching me. The 10,000 changes are stilled without shaking me. If you can sit here with stability, then you can freely step across and engage the world with energy. There is an excellent saying that the six sense doors are not veiled. The highways in all directions have no footprints. Arriving, always arriving everywhere, without being confused, gentle, without hesitation, the perfected person knows where to go. I think I'm just going to read that over and over again because it's so beautiful and the poetry of it reaches, I think, at a deeper level than even our analytic, rational mind ever could. I do think that there's as I've been sitting with this passage, I've been finding it a good teaching for this moment. Because I feel like it's pointing to our spiritual power. So much in the public discourse about power these days, using it, abusing it, exerting it, subverting it, advancing power, opposing power. All this. And yet, what is true power? Power that can't be given and can't be taken away. There is such a thing inherent in every human being, what we might call spiritual power. And so practice, the path, one way to think about it is to think about how we are discovering this power that we already have, how we are developing our awareness of it, how we are studying how to embody it, how to make use of it. Yeah, we can look out and see there's worldly power. But in our hearts and minds, worldly power fades. Into the shadows of our true power. If you can sit here with stability, then you can freely step across and engage the world with energy. Every dust is whole without reaching me. The 10,000 changes are stilled without shaking me. The white clouds are fascinated with the green mountain's foundation. The bright moon cherishes being carried along by the flowing water. I was thinking about how this spiritual power is a sort of working within ourselves this tension or these different aspects of our practice of stability and fluidity. These different aspects of our mind, our heart, our experience of stability and fluidity. These different aspects in how we practice, in how we train, where we're cultivating stability and fluidity. So that Green Mountain's foundation, that flowing water, we can find ourselves in both of those. So steady, grounded, not moving. All the feelings, all the thoughts, all the news, still in my seat. And yet this steadiness isn't brittle. There's no rigidity whatsoever. As the flow of reality flows, we flow along with. That spiritual power, in a way, the very first line. If we just took this first line and gave our lives to plumbing its depths, I think our spiritual power would ripen. A person of the way fundamentally does not dwell anywhere. To dwell, right, to live in a particular place or in a particular way, meaning to remain for a period of time, so we can speak of dwelling in the city or dwelling in the mountains. We can say, yeah, it's a problem, but don't dwell on it. Don't remain. A true person of the way does not dwell anywhere. The word, the Japanese word for monastic unsui, means clouds and water. To live your life in that flow, How do we do that? Not as an idea and not as a rejection of anything, but as a manifestation of an exhaustive study and realization of the nature of the self, which is not fixed. How do we practice non-dwelling? We have to be so awake. That tendency to remain is so habitual, right? The grasping that the Dharma teaches as the root of suffering is so just conditioned within us. I mean, that's how we create ourself. There's no fault in us around it. And as we start to steady our awareness and steady our attention, we can become more attuned to this energetic quality of grasping, to our tendency to dwell, to dwell. There's a koan where one monastic asks the other, what is the fundamental constant principle? And the other says, moving. Our awareness is not rigid. We can open up and be present to the flow of our experience. We can watch for where we're grasping, and we know that we're grasping when we feel stuck. I think that nothing is ever stuck unless in some subtle way we're holding on to it. Probably not consciously. And so there's our practice, our fundamental practice of letting go. I remember some years ago realizing that letting go can take time. That I imagined the practice of letting go would be like sort of instantaneous with the recognition that I was holding on. As soon as I hold on, I should be able to see and let go. But when I really looked to see and feel and experience how does letting go happen, I saw like, oh, sometimes it takes time. That I actually had to be with the barrier, be with the stuckness, be with what I was grasping onto, and to shift how I was being with it so that letting go could happen. It's funny how we can't force it. When we force letting go, it's not letting go. It's rejecting. Suppressing. I was talking with someone about this earlier. I love these images. The white clouds are fascinated with the green mountain's foundation. The bright moon cherishes being carried along with the flowing water. That cloud, insubstantial, impossible to pin down. There's that Christian mystic text called the cloud of unknowing. The white clouds are fascinated with the green mountain's foundation, this insubstantial, cloud and this mountain form. And I think about our experience, the cloud-like nature of awareness, so impossible to pin down, impossible to grab and hold. And the form of the body, so apparently substantial, like a mountain. Aren't we fascinated in a certain way? Fascination that our attention is drawn, is compelled, irresistibly drawn. Isn't that just how it is? The cloud of our awareness, so drawn, so identified, so taken with finding itself in this mountain body. We get fixated and tight and neurotic, but like there's this very natural, like, wow. Wow. We get overly identified and confused and tangled up in knots. But like, there's also just the like, it is fascinating. I feel like that's the way that I'm trying to engage with the aging body. Is like, it's fascinating. Sometimes I look at my partner, and we've been together, Gokhan and I, for almost 30 years. So like, we're starting to recognize the aging in the other, and you can't deny it. You can't sort of pretend. And so like, somebody will do something, and we'll say, like, I'll say to Gokhan, "That's a little OM-ish." Do you know what that means? Old man-ish. I was getting water. There's a new water cooler at the monastery. If you've been up there in the last 6 months or whatnot, you've seen it. It comes out in three different temperatures. It's still the same spring water, right from the heart of the mountain, but you can have it in cold, in room temp, or in warm. And I was filling up my cup, and I put in room temp, and then I put in a shot of warm, and Gokhan was there, and he's like, "That's a little OW-ish." I was like, "You're right. You're right. It is. It's the water's too cold. I'm feeling sensitive." Yeah. So it's fascinating how we change. It's fascinating. And so to take that fascination, right, the incarnate experience, and instead of getting caught in clinging and grasping and wanting and rejecting and fearing, can we just be engaged, interested, curious? So we have that. And then the bright moon cherishes being carried along with the flowing water. The bright, radiant moon of your mind, your luminous being, the flowing water of moment, 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 reality, reality. It's happening now. You can't stop it. Not for a moment. You can't stop it. You can't stop it. What's the fundamental constant principle? Change. The bright moon cherishes being carried along by the flowing water. To care. I think about caring, to cherish, to love, to treasure. Conditions change and we get afraid. Because we're constricted in our view and we think we can't handle it. Because we don't want to be uncomfortable. Because we don't want to suffer and we don't want others to suffer. Well, one of the hard truths is that although we can offer a lot of help, each person has to tend their own suffering mind. Although we can offer a lot of help, a lot of support, a lot of protection, we cannot actually take away another person's suffering. And so how does the Bodhisattva respond in light of that? This is a real question. This is a real time to be asking it. But developing our spiritual power trusting the deep wisdom of stability, that foundation, not being shaken, learning how to be steady when everything is moving. And responding, allowing the flow, trusting your capacity to respond. If you can sit here with stability, then you can freely step across and engage the world with energy. That flowing world. The clouds part and the mountain appears. The moon sets and the water is cool. When the mind is quiet, and we open the eyes and we see how one thing affects another, how there is just this constant becoming. How we are in relationship with everything all the time. And how the study of cause and effect becomes part of our spiritual power. Studying cause and effect and using what we find. During this time, to notice what's skillful, what's unskillful. If we can't tell the difference between letting go and suppressing, then study. Come closer. Look. Look at cause and effect. When we let go, we're free. There is an excellent saying that the six sense doors are not veiled. The highways in all directions have no footprints. Always arriving everywhere without being confused. To truly arrive. Here and now, connected to yourself, where is the confusion? Gentle, without hesitation. So much power in being gentle. So much more power, really, than any display of force. A person of the way fundamentally does not dwell anywhere. The white clouds are fascinated with the green mountain's foundation. The bright moon cherishes being carried along with the flowing water. The clouds part and the mountain appears. The moon sets and the water is cool. Each bit of winter contains vast interpenetration without bounds. Every dust is whole without reaching me. The 10,000 changes are stilled without shaking me. If you can sit here with stability, then you can freely step across and engage the world with energy. There is an excellent saying that the six sense doors are not veiled, the highways in all directions have no footprints. Always arriving everywhere without being confused. Gentle, without hesitation. The perfected person knows where to go.
Thanks so much for listening. For meditation supplies such as cushions, incense, liturgical instruments, Dharma books, and more, visit monasterystore.org. Support for your spiritual practice at home.